This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Welcome into the Bartholomew Town Podcast, continuing coverage of the impact of COVID-19 here in Rhode Island. I'm Bill Bartholomew. On today's episode, I speak with the owners of a prominent Rhode Island small business, Tracy and Bill Doherty of Seven Stars Bakery. We discuss how social distancing and the new norms we're in right now are impacting their business, what they're hearing from fellow small businesses, and also the contribution that they're making to the pool of resources here in the state in the fight against the virus and the social and economic implications thereof. So all throughout this week, and hey, maybe beyond, we're going to hear from all different elements of Rhode Island, how they're impacted by COVID-19, what they're doing to contribute to the mitigation efforts, and maybe even what it's going to look like when we're through this moment in time and certainly evolve as a society and as a state. Lots to get to, and I want your feedback as well. Number one, you can email me anytime, bill@ripodcast.com. Number two, I'm going to be doing some live streams on Facebook and Instagram. I'll let you know when those go up, or you might just see them pop up. Hopefully, we can do a little DIY talk radio. I can plug my iPhone in, give you my number, call up. We can have a conversation about all this. It's heavy. It's okay to approach it with that sort of mentality, but it's also okay to be optimistic. And I think when you look at the players in our state, the businesses, the individuals, the institutions, the leadership, the artists, there's a lot of people stepping up right now. And what they're doing is they're stepping up to support the people at the top right now, the medical professionals, the scientists, those who are really the boots on the ground in this battle. So a tremendous amount of credit to everyone out there who is contributing to this unique experience. And hopefully we're going to be able to keep this conversation broadly, not just here on the podcast, but everywhere, about how we want to set up our society following this event and make the changes that we need to make, or at least want to make, or at least the world we'd like to see, piece it together. This week, we'll hear from the Bus Drivers Union. We're going to hear from Secretary of State Nelly Gorbea. Of course, yesterday, Governor Raimondo announcing via executive order that the Rhode Island primary has been moved to June. So lots to get to, both the specifics of the medical side of this, the scientific side of this, the Rhode Island administrative side of it, what's going on as far as our governmental operation, our institutions, is everything staying afloat? And then, of course, looking to the future and societal changes that will come of this, undoubtedly. So that's that. I'm not running any sponsors, not blasting any music. Let's just keep this straight to the point. Right now, let's get to my conversation with Bill and Tracy Doherty, owners of Seven Stars Bakery.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Providence, Cranston, wherever it is, people are obviously shifting habits in an extraordinary way right now, and I'm sure that's impacting your business on just about every level. So can you kind of walk us through where you are right now at Seven Stars and how you fit into the broader restaurant, bakery, cafe community?
Certainly. Presently, our four cafes are we hate to use the word closed, so we've suspended operations of the four cafes. We are operating. Our bread team is full-time, going around the clock. We are making bread for our grocery partners, primarily Whole Foods and Eastside Marketplace. And we have a number of, we're going to test a little market at Hope Street and hopefully broader, but we can talk about that down the road. On the shifting landscape, Tracy and I, you know, just as people who live, forget about being small business owners, you know, about, you know, 2.5-3 weeks ago, we started to really, pay attention. And, you know, two weeks ago Sunday, when the first case from the high school trip that went to Italy, the gentleman was at Miriam Hospital, which is less than a half mile from our Hope Street store, which is our first cafe. We knew to take this very seriously. And at that point, Tracy and I, really just looked at it and said, we need to figure out, a way we can be of best service to our employees, number one, honestly, and just work to stay open as long as we possibly can, because a lot of people, obviously, paychecks are important. And we obviously needed to do something as it related to making our customers comfortable. So we took, we're all living this real time. So, the landscape seemed to change every 2 or 3 hours. Yeah. And things that didn't bother you this morning were very nerve-wracking in the afternoon. With four cafes and 150 employees, Tracy and I really spent the better part of our waking hours just checking the pulse during that time frame. And I think, you know, we did a pretty good job of, you know, keeping everything open and safe. We took tables and chairs out long before, you know, some of the national players did. Tracy and I put X's, you know, using duct tape on the floor where people could, as soon as we heard the phrase social distancing, we were able to move tables, but we weren't able to, it was harder to control the line because people naturally gravitate towards each other in a line. So we literally put duct tape on the floor and that really worked. But the most important part was the folks in our bakery were very comfortable. We have a really rigorous cleaning and sanitation, and we do all of our own baking, so it's all very controlled. That group was very comfortable very early on. It's really the trying to keep it everybody in the cafe comfortable and safe. And, you know, and people are dealing with different issues. Tracy and I were coming home to an empty house, but other people were maybe going home to a grandmother. So, you know, we had to be very, very sensitive across the board.
You know, at what point did you sense, you referenced that Sunday morning press conference after the Saint race trip, and I was at that press conference. I also felt that, you know, everything shifted that in a way at that moment. But now we're in, again, I don't want to call it a lockdown because it's not, you know, that's not necessarily the right way to put it. But we're in this new phase. What moment did you know, all right, we've really got to go to the place where we're basically pulling our public facing operation, you know, we're closing down our public facing operation except for the bread delivery and make a drastic change?
Well, on Tuesday, I mean, I think Tuesday was, you know, it was a really good reflection of, you know, the best answer for that is, I mean, I sent an email, Tracy and I sent an email later to our staff, just, you know, talking about how, what a crazy day it was. Cause you know, Tracy and I got to all four cafes in the morning, again, checking in on our staff, our team, and everybody was feeling pretty good. And so we headed over to the cafe. I mean, we headed over to the bakery about noon. And on the way in, we said, you know, we need to do something. All we're trying to do here is stay open, keep everybody safe. And really the emphasis has to be on bread. And so we actually made the decision at that point, and you know, we executed it for all of about 3 hours. We cut our price on bread in the stores because we could see what was going on locally significantly. We just said, you know, we're gonna brave this. But then the governor was speaking that day, and honestly, by the time her speech and the press conference was over, Tracy and I and our senior team back at the bakery just said, you know, we just can't keep putting employees in this position. And as much as they wanted to be working, and we respected that, we just couldn't continue to do it. So we literally went from, you know, looking to expand our bread business for the community, for our customers, to closing literally within an hour and a half. It was that kind of whipsaw. I mean, obviously, I've never been involved in anything like that. We're usually pretty steady, Tracy and I. I think that's what people would say from, as it relates to our leadership style. So I mean, and one at noon, I was talking to a couple of our employees at Broadway, and we were feeling pretty good. And by 2 o'clock, we were closed.
Yeah,
and it just was the wrong thing. So now we've shifted into, you know, more of the bread production. I mean, obviously, there's high demand for bread. We've isolated our bread making team. They are thrilled to be working. You know, we've obviously talked to them and checked in with them, and their reaction was, you know, we just want to bake bread. And it's probably about a 9-person team working around the clock, taking different shifts. And I mean, we've several of them fortunately live in Pawtucket near our bakery. We have an apartment furnished literally across the street from our bakery that we tried to rent, but the gentleman we asked said no, we can have it. So it's standing by in case, you know, we need to put people more local, including Tracy and myself, candidly. So, you know, we're in for the duration. I think that bread is, you know, an essential thing. I want to shout out for, you know, not just of our employees who have been incredible, but, you know, for about the third or fourth time since we've been involved in the business, the city of Pawtucket has impressed us. They've just been really terrific and to work with, to get things done. So, you know, it's really difficult. It's definitely been the hardest 2 weeks of my professional life. Tracy would definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
It's definitely of our professional life. But, you know, we consider ourselves very fortunate because of the team we have, because of the business we have. And our, I mean, you can see it on, you know, through social media, our customers and the communities have just been incredibly supportive, which we're obviously very grateful for.
I guess it's kind of been the whole nature of the beast here is just being nimble and ready to shift directions completely at any given moment in time. You know, and that still, of course, is the case. We're far from out of the woods. In fact, you know, medical experts are largely thinking we're heading into the surge in the coming days. So from your vantage point, are there any things you're looking to that you would say, you know, mile markers as a business owner right now that you need to get through on a practical level, whether it's aid from a federal or state level or the sort of the rallying of the your customer base, whatever it may be? Is there something that you could, you know, you would be looking to and was probably reflective of other businesses?
Sure. You know, I think it's an interesting question because there are a lot of levels to it. I think that first and foremost, keeping everybody healthy, you know, our protocols are through the roof in terms of cleanliness, in terms of what we're doing at the bakery, what people are asking people to do before work, outside of work, at work. It's being as absolutely stringent as we can as a team. And once you get past that, assuming everyone's healthy, you know, part of the information problem is information is imperfect, as you said, and it's kind of continuing to evolve. So you're trying to stay ahead of the curve as best we can. You know, if this becomes a situation where some of the supply chains become more challenging for grocery stores and other food markets, mm-hmm. we want to be able to be part of the solution. You know, we're local, we mill our own flour, and we can make bread. We supply 39 Whole Foods across Rhode Island and Massachusetts. So if we can, you know, first, you know, we want to make sure that we can keep bread going to those places where people are able to get it. And we also want to be able, to the extent we can, potentially be a direct source, whether that's through pre-order markets that we're able to establish. You know, that's not our sweet spot. It's not something we've done before, but we're trying to figure it out. We've certainly done it for holiday orders and things. We're doing a test this Saturday on that. But also, you know, for donations, I mean, there's a lot of people who are isolated going forward that may become, you know, a greater demand. So that's why we're working with a number of charitable organizations and mayor's offices to be part of that solution, to be able to get bread to people as needed.
Yeah, somebody told me that you're delivering like 100 loaves a morning right now on a donation base. Is that accurate?
Yeah, this one thing that's really been, you know, I mean, honestly, there's very few good things every day during this period, but it's, you know, it's the one thing that our whole team's looking forward to every day. You know, we've finalized and we started the program unofficially a couple days ago. Started this morning. Working with the Pawtucket Senior Centers, and now we've lined up. We're donating 100 loaves of bread to 7 different charities. You know, one different charity every morning. So we're working with Pawtucket Senior Centers, Cranston Senior Center Group, the City of Cranston. We reached out to the mayor's office. They were on it like crazy, and appreciate it. Obviously Amos House, Crossroads, We Share Hope, Elijah Project. We work with those charities on a, you know, anything that's not sold every day at a 7-star bakery goes to those charities at night. So now we, you know, we're concentrating everything on bread and, you know, getting it out to shut-ins, elderly people, you know, who can't get to the grocery stores. So we do feel great about it. The team feels great. It's one of the real reasons we're coming into work. One thing that I think that, you know, Tracy alluded to that, you know, we certainly hope does not come to fruition is, you know, we, you know, we're the best part about Seven Stars is everything's fresh. It's done, you know, everything's new every morning. You know, we mill our own flour. But you know, when everything started to really turn two and a half, three weeks ago, we bought a lot of grain. Yep. We have a big warehouse in Pawtucket full of grain. We hope not to need it, you know, but you know, we have bread ovens and we have grain, and you know, our team is, you know, is here for the duration, you know, and you know that obviously, you know, nobody's making any money here. It's, you know, it's just, you know, we're trying to lose as little as we can, but that's not even relevant compared to what, you know, this has become or what it could become. Yeah.
You know, it's American ingenuity, and it's, you know, that Rhode Island community element as well, kind of meeting each other right now. And we're seeing it across all different sectors, and you're a part of it. So Tracy, Bill, yeah. I really appreciate it. You know, as a Rhode Islander, I'm sure others out there, and I know there's a lot of businesses. I guess the last minute or so, what are you looking to, you know, again, we have no idea what the time frame on this is going to be, but do you anticipate there's going to have to be a major shift in the dynamics of our state economy, so to speak, to recover from this? Or, you know, do you feel like we've got the mechanisms in place as a safety net for businesses?
You know, I think, I mean, we're in a pretty good shape. We're a small business, but we're large enough where we had some slack and redundancy. We don't have a significant amount of debt that's hanging overhead, different than other small businesses. I'm talking to other people. I mean, we're large enough. We have a head of human resources. That's positioned us really well in dealing with our staff. We've actually, you know, encouraged other cafe and restaurant owners to talk to her during this, because we know we're fortunate. And one of the things that we love about Seven Stars, we were customers before we were fortunate enough to buy the company. But it is about community. And so, you know, obviously it's great baked goods and coffee and all the great things, but when you get right down to it, it's all about community. So for us, what we need is just a return of normalcy. You know, social isolation is not good for anybody. Obviously it's not good for a cafe, but you know, we're very optimistic that, you know, and our team is very optimistic. I mean, I feel that, you know, the one thing I know pretty much for sure is the day we open, our cafes are going to be full. And that's a great, you know, it's hard to go to sleep at night, but knowing that definitely helps. There are other businesses that, you know, honestly, we're really, really concerned for, and I don't have an answer. You know, it's, you know, restaurants, you know, are really hurting. It's going to be hard.
Yeah. I mean, we have to hope that a lot of the programs that are being put in place, a lot of it is early days on some of these small business relief and things that might be available. You have to hope that those are going to be effective. And, you know, it's hard for anyone to predict. Rhode Islanders are resilient. So you got to hope that that kicks in and helps a bit as well.
We will hug people again. We will. I mean, it's terrible now. Even when you go for a walk, you can't really say hello to people.
Yeah.
And we will.
Stay with Bartholomew Town for continuing coverage of COVID-19's impact here in Rhode Island. I'll have new podcast episodes, daily social content, and much more for you. Your search is Bartholomew Town or me, Bill Bartholomew. Until next time, we'll talk soon.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.